Now that's a good one. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principal Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
As always, glad to be here.
Glad to have you here, Charles. They call this time of the year in electoral politics the silly season. And usually it means because you're working yourself silly, people are going out, knocking on doors, registering voters, putting up yard signs, stamping and labeling mailers to drop, and just you're working yourself into a tizzy. But then sometimes some people come forward and, shall we say, weigh in on the election season and really prove why we call it the silly season, because they come up with some of the silliest things I've ever heard of. And case in point is an article that you found on Breitbart.com. So this was about a week ago. We've been holding on to this one, ladies and gentlemen, because obviously there have been a lot of other things we needed to talk about. But on Breitbart.com, a gentleman by the name of Kurt Schlichter is a columnist for that blog site, webpage. And the headline was one that caught your eye, Chuck, wasn't it?
Oh, well, I saw it and I was, if I'd had an upper plate, as my mom always used to say, I almost dropped my upper plate. I still have most of my own teeth, although, let's face it, they're not in such great condition. But the fact is, I would have dropped my upper plate. The headline is, time for Ron Paul fans to, get this, support the Constitution.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure that most Ron Paul fans are gratefully relieved to have somebody actually tell them, okay, guys, now it's time to support the Constitution.
Yeah, exactly. But this doesn't lead where they think it should go. Because the fact is that Ron Paul fans, no matter what you think of Ron Paul fans have been supporting the Constitution. Some of us who have known about Ron Paul since 1978. So the fact is that this is, first of all, a goofy choice of a headline. And in fact, I realize what the writer wanted to do. He wanted to throw water on the flame of disgust over what happened at the Republican National Convention regarding rules changes and the way Ron Paul delegates were treated, the way Ron Paul in general was treated. This thing about not allowing him to speak, but giving him a 30-year anniversary video that they showed when nobody was there. Gee, thanks, guys. And these little pats on the back about in Congress that he's getting now about his audit the Fed bill and all that kind of stuff now that he's retiring. Well, that's real easy to do. But the fact is, Ron Paul has been calling these guys out for not following the Constitution. And in fact, he was calling out Mitt Romney for not following the Constitution and not being someone who was pledging to follow the Constitution during the entirety of the primary season campaign. So this idea that someone from on high in the Republican Party is reaching out and saying, you Ron Paul fans need to support the Constitution. Well, thanks for the advice, bub. But you might want to get your pocket copy out and actually read it once before you make that proclamation. Now, it's interesting that the presupposition comes right out in the first sentence under the big, large font that says, maybe Romney isn't the uncompromising Ayn Rand hero you'd design if you could build your ideal candidate from scratch. But he's a lot better than the guy on whose watch this happened. And there's a picture of this filmmaker who made that idiotic movie that Obama is now blaming the attacks in the Benghazi, Libya, and the murder of Stevens, the ambassador to Libya. He's blaming it on this movie. The fact is that is Mitt Romney really better than Obama who caused this to happen? Well, that's the real question, isn't it? And the fact is that not all Ron Paul supporters are Ayn Rand fans.
No, they're not.
And I'm not an Ayn Rand fan. I think Ayn Rand was a atheistic, self-indulgent narcissist. I'm not an Ayn Rand fan in the slightest. So this idea that all of us guys are somehow rallying behind Gary Johnson, that's just a meme that I find amazing that all Ron Paul supporters are automatically going to go over and vote for Gary Johnson. If you don't know who that is, that's a libertarian candidate for president. He's a former governor of New Mexico.
Or they could go to the Green Party and vote for Roseanne Barr.
They didn't actually nominate her, I didn't think.
Well, but she's still out there stumping that she's running for president on the ticket.
Well, you know, some people have completely disconnected from reality.
Well, okay, and that's the whole point. And Chuck, I know that probably some of our listeners might claim that we're disconnected from reality because many people have bought into this particular, shall we say, nonlinear equation. I'll just put it this way in mathematical terms, nonlinear equation. And the equation goes something like this. A vote for anybody but our guy is a vote for the other guy. And you know, and you've heard it, folks, and come on, just be honest with yourself if you've even said it to people, to say, well, if you vote for fill in the blank, Ron Paul, Gary John, I don't care who it is, if you vote for, that's a vote for Obama. Well, no, not necessarily, because, Chuck, what that does is that's presuming something that's one of those things, like our friend Mike Peruka would say, it isn't what you don't know, it's what you think you know that just ain't so, that's the problem. That's right. And this is one of those just ain't so kind of things. The assumption is that those people who would hold out and vote, whether they call it principle or party affiliation, maybe you're a libertarian or you're a Green Party guy and you just vote a straight party ticket, that if you don't vote for the nominee of the Republican Party against the Democrat, or vice versa, the Democrat against the Republican, somehow you are, in effect, voting for his opponent. And it's like, that's not the case, because the electoral math doesn't work that way, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, there's a huge presuppositional assumption that's wrong, and that is that those individuals that you're talking to would have voted, if it was in any other situation, they would have voted, well, let's say, a Republican ticket, versus voting for a third-party candidate or an independent, or not voting at all, which is another option. But in some people's minds, and including the article writer Kurt Schlieker's mind, those people who would stand up and say, I'm going to write in Ron Paul, or I'm not voting at all, or such and such and so-and-so, that they're actually, quote-unquote, taking votes away from Mitt Romney that he should have, that he owns. The point is, he doesn't own their vote. Yes, Barack Obama, by all measures, from our perspective, as Christians, conservatives, constitutionalists, committed, what have you, is horrible.
Well,
But to assume that if somebody doesn't want to vote for a candidate from the other major party whose track record has a very similar flavor, then for some reason they're being quote unquote disloyal, or you're allowing the other guy to get back in. Well, boy, if that little subset, and I'm going to call it a little subset, Chuck, I know that Ron Paul seems to think that he's got a large following out there, and maybe he does, but if that little subset of the electorate is what it takes to either put Mitt Romney in or keep him out, you think they would have treated those folks better at the convention, knowing that less than a month ago.
Instead of abusing them, you'd think that they would have treated them like royalty. But instead, they essentially kept them on buses, didn't allow them in for votes, those kinds of things, while they undermined the rules so that someone like Ron Paul couldn't possibly get delegates in the future. Yeah, Barry, there's major problems here, and the whole thought process is just completely flawed.
It doesn't follow anything but fear logic. And fear logic is so-and-so who's sitting in the office now is so horrible and so bad and so scary, we got to do anything possible to get him out of there. And we've decided that the only thing we can do is vote for this other guy whose record really is wouldn't support our worldview either. But we got to have a change, and we're in control of it. It's like, no, we're not. God is in control of this whole election, and people need to vote their conscience. Now, if your conscience is such that you feel that you have no other option than to vote for the other major party, that's your choice. But if those people who are out there saying, my conscience won't allow me to do that, won't allow me to vote for your guy or vote for their guy, I'm going to choose a different direction, don't look at them like they're going to be the ones who are going to wreck your party. Because that's not the case. There have been a lot of decisions all the way up to this point that have been the decisions that wrecked the party, and it didn't have anything to do with this small pocket of voters out there now who are exercising their own free voting choices.
Well, let's look at some of the arguments that just this guy undermines his entire premise within four paragraphs of the opening.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Making no choice in this election is a choice. It's a choice for a collectivist who will get two or three Supreme Court picks over a man who picked the guy, Paul Ryan, who understands capitalism and its unbreakable link to human freedom. Now, what have we done here? This is a bait and switch.
It is, absolutely. We went from picking Supreme Court justices to picking a political running mate.
And let's face it, the vice president's job is essentially to get votes every 4 years for the presidential candidate.
Paul Ryan will boost the ticket. That's exactly what it's for. It's to boost the ticket. That's the reason why it takes a candidate so long, because they're doing electoral math to figure out which guy is going to get them the best boost to get across the finish line.
So the idea that Paul Ryan is somehow how Mitt Romney is going to pick Supreme Court nominees, which is the seeming implication here.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not seeming. That's easy. Directly implying that.
It's laughable. Now, let's talk about the most conservative administration in the last century, in the last half century, let's say.
Oh, Calvin Coolidge is out? Okay.
Yeah, we'll leave Calvin out. It would be Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
Okay, let's name the Supreme Court justices we got out of Ronald Reagan.
Sandra Day O'Connor. I don't think we have to go any farther. And Anthony Kennedy.
And Rehnquist got reappointed as Chief Justice.
Yeah.
All we have to do is look at those choices, and then we got another supposed conservative who's more of the stripe of Romney than he is of Reagan, and that was George H.W. Bush. Bush won.
Mm-hmm.
And what Supreme Court justice did we get out of George H.W. Bush?
I think it was David Souter, wasn't it?
Souter.
It was David Souter. All startlingly conservative justices, yes.
Not. Yes. Definitely not.
Oh, yeah, totally facetious. Thank you.
Yes. If you want to see the kind of Supreme Court justices you're going to get out of Mitt Romney, take a look at Sandra Day O'Connor, Anthony Kennedy, David Souter, and then John Roberts.
Yeah.
Because John Roberts was a W. Bush appointee. This is what you're going to get. And there will be much wailing and gnashing of teeth. Barry, you and I have said this over and over and over and over and over again to people who come to us and beg us to come out and endorse Mitt Romney. It won't be 18 months before you're crying on my shoulder about how you've been betrayed.
Well, and Charles, be that as it may, the point is that we're now sitting here at the end of September before an election, and I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times, and it's not just this cycle, it was the last cycle, and the cycle before that, and the cycle before that. This is the most important election of our lifetimes, and we've got to get it right now. And it's like, well, that means that you got it wrong all those other times, but your guy got in. All right, what's your problem here? And I'm sorry if I sound a little strident about this, but you have to understand that Charles and I, we travel a number of conservative political circles, and we hear things that would probably make you just shudder in disbelief of people doing mental gymnastics, ignoring what they say publicly their worldview is and their convictions are, of being a Christ follower, because it's all about winning this power or making sure our guy gets in or stopping this guy. But the point is that we Christians hold the key to all of this, Charles.
Exactly.
Because God said the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. I'm hearing an awful lot about let's go out and register people and get them out to the polls and vote this and do this and stop that. I'm not hearing a collective, how about we all repent of our idolatry and pray for God to reveal and bless us with a better leader.
Well, let me ask you a question, Barry. Do you remember last December who most of our friends were trying to stop inside the Republican Party?
Yeah, Mitt Romney, wasn't it?
Now they're all like, oh my gosh, we've got to get him elected or we're all going to be dead.
Yeah, well, you know, and the thing is, remember, Mitt Romney ran in 2008 as well, and many of those conservatives wouldn't cross the street if Romney had been hit by a bus. And they were busy trying to get Mike Huckabee elected. Well, that didn't work out either. And the whole idea that we're all one big happy party is not necessarily true, ladies and gentlemen, because just like there are different people and different ways of people expressing their beliefs, you also express your voting preferences differently, too. And Chuck, I'm honest, if I hear the idea of a vote for fill-in-the-blank is a vote for Barack Obama, I am probably going to become unhinged on the person who says it to.
Barry, we're running out of time, and we've gotten into the two paragraphs into
this. Well, we're going to continue this one tomorrow, because we need to talk about this. You know, I love our listening audience, Charles, and I hope that they will humor us and listen to this in the spirit that it's intended, which is not a berating of any sort, but just a let's stop and use a biblical worldview and think through these matters and not just knee-jerk because everybody else is doing so.
Yeah, bear with us, ladies and gentlemen. We're simply airing our own views on this election, and I think if you listen with an ear that is not excited by the emotion that surrounds a presidential election and the things that are likely to happen afterwards, that you might see that we might be making some sense, hopefully. If not, then comment.
Send us an email. Go to principlepolicy.com and comment on our page. We're big boys. We can take it. If you don't like what we're saying or you disagree strongly with us, that conversation's good for the soul, Charles.
I got lots of scars. I can take a beating. go to www.principledpolicy.com and make a comment. We invite you if you disagree with us. That being said, join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.